Gary Chapman has written a number of books, one of which has been on New York Times best-selling list. He has sold this particular book 11 million copies, and he has helped countless millions of couples understand and discover what their love language is. The title of the book is The Five Love Languages. It is a book that for couples that I do premarital counseling with, I give them a copy of this book because it is a way in which helps individuals discover what their primary love language is and then how their spouse can then in turn respond because they know what their spouse's love language is to help out. I want to tell you, and let me give you the five different love languages. They are words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. Robbins, I have saved myself countless times of frustration and a lot of money because Robin's primary gift isn't giving. It isn't receiving gifts. So I could buy her flowers every day and, oh, they're nice. Doesn't float her boat. What does is quality time and acts of service. So if I see something that Robin wants to do and I step in to do it for her, might I add, without being asked, that just knocks her world. I mean, it rocks her. Now, if she's doing something and I step in and engage to do it with her, spending time we just finished up canning, and one of the things that she does is pears. Pears take a lot. Anybody can pears? Because that takes a lot of time. You got to peel them, and then it takes more time than all the rest of it does together. And so I will come in, and I'll do the peeling, and we'll sit, and she'll can, and we'll talk. And so, I mean, that just knocks her socks off, because quality time and acts of service, that speaks her love language. So I can spend all the money. Now, she enjoys getting gifts from time to time, and she appreciates them, but really those are the two things that really speak to her. Me, on the other hand, mine is gifts, receiving gifts, and physical touch. So it can be just a simple thing that Robin does for me, you know, getting a donut for me. I appreciate that. And it's not just a gift, but it's the thought behind the gift. Some of you, at Halloween, you'll bring me candy corn. Thank you. Love it. At Easter and Christmas, it'll be marshmallow peeps. Love it. You can tell me all kinds of things. Put them in the microwave. Watch them blow up. It's great. No, it's not. It's a waste of a good peep. So I am affirmed by those gifts and hugs, handshakes. That demonstrates to me love. God has gifted each of you with a love language that speaks to the rest of the body of Christ, their spiritual gifts. That's where we're going to be at this morning. So I invite you to turn to 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. In the passage that we're considering this morning, Peter gives us another way to show love for one another. These actions are a demonstration of a love language to them that not only helps them during times of crisis, because remember, we're talking about these believers are going through times of crisis, persecution. So helping them through these difficult times by the use of their spirit, by the other spiritual gifts, is a way that encourages them, but it also brings glory to God. I want to add one additional thing, because not only is it a benefit to the body, and not only does it bring glory to God, but it is a testimony to a watching world. It demonstrates how if we were exercising our gift the way that it should be, a world that is watching us will be drawn to the Savior. I believe that. So we are in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. There are two important points that I want to guide us this morning in looking at our relationships. We see the work that we're called to do, And then we see the worship that we are called to give. Those are the 2 points. The first is this, the work that we are called to do. And I invite you to follow with me verse 10 to the first part of verse 11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. The work we are called to do. Now, I want to just tell you up front that we are going to be speaking generally about spiritual gifts this morning. We are not going to be delving into each individual spiritual gift. There are a couple of primary passages that we're going to that are in the New Testament that help us understand what spiritual gifts there are. Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to be referring primarily to 1 Corinthians 12 from time to time in the message. But we're not going to take each individual spiritual gift and look at them. This is just merely an overview at what the purpose of these spiritual gifts are for. So, don't be disappointed if your spiritual gift isn't mentioned, okay? Or to help you with that. I'm just giving you kind of the groundwork. We're just going to be speaking generally. And it's intentional that I do that. And down the road, there may be a series that I will do on spiritual gifts so that we understand what many of those are. But today, it's just going to be an overview. There are some Greek words that I think are helpful in understanding what Scripture has to say about spiritual gifts. And as I said, there are two primary passages. I want you to turn, so keep your finger in 1 Peter chapter 4 and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 because I want to begin there. Verse 1 says this. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. There was a lot of things going on in the church at Corinth. And there was discussion and dissension surrounding the use of spiritual gifts. Who had what gifts? And some gifts they believed were more prominent than others. And so Peter was really trying to, Paul was trying to help them understand that these gifts were necessary and that there are some principles, some guidelines on using them. So please keep in mind that as we look at that. So there is a word in there now about spiritual gifts. In the Greek, it is the word pneumatikon, and it emphasizes the control of the Holy Spirit in the use of the gifts in the believer. Understand and underscore, if you have a pen and want to write in there, you don't have your new pen yet, but you know, if you did have your new pen, you could underline that word spiritual, because that's the emphasis that I want to convey to you this morning, that these gifts are spiritual. It emphasizes the control of the Holy Spirit in the use of these gifts in a believer. It also emphasizes the character of these gifts, that they are spiritual. The second thing is in 1 Peter 4, is in Ephesians 4, 7, where we read, "But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." It's also the same word in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The word there in the Greek is doria, and it emphasizes the freeness of the gift. You didn't buy it. You didn't go out and barter for it. There wasn't anything that you could do for it. This gift was given to you. It was something that was free. Same vein with the spiritual gift. It is something that is freely given to you as a believer. The motive behind the gift that has been given is the grace of God. And I want to emphasize again that grace is something that is given to us freely, bestowed by no merit of our own. There isn't anything that we can do to buy it, to purchase it, to get it. It is given to us as a gift. The third word that I want to help us to hopefully understand is the word that Peter uses in his passage, and that is the word charisma. Or we get, the root word is charis, from which we translate the word grace, and it is unearned and unmerited. Now, as we look at this, and stay in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but I want us to, I'm just going to be real straight with you here. Because we are talking about spiritual gifts, and if we're talking about these gifts being spiritual, then there is only one source where these gifts come from. only one source. It is spiritual, and therefore, everybody say together, the place where this comes from is God. Okay? So let's just make that real clear. That is where these spiritual gifts come from. So if you're in 1 Corinthians 12, we already read verse 1, so pick up at verse 2. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Those are things that the Holy Spirit gives to us, imprints on our heart, that tells us that Christ is the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who does that. There are, I'm going to have to edit that part, dues. I don't know where that came from. There are different kinds, verse 4, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Jump down to verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So spiritual gifts are spiritual because they come from God through the Holy Spirit giving them to us. We're all clear on that, right? Yes, they're spiritual. When we sometimes hear about a musician being gifted to sing or to produce music, different scores, to compose it. You know, we sometimes may hear of an orator being gifted because they have charisma in the way that they speak and are able to engage an audience with how they convey a message. We sometimes, you'll hear if you're watching if you're still watching football, you'll sometimes hear that an athlete is gifted. You'll hear the talking heads on ESPN saying those, and they're speaking about their athleticism as being something that is natural. They were just born that way. I'm here to tell you that they are gifted only in the sense that they have a special skill, but it is natural. It is not supernatural. And that's what a spiritual gift is. It is not something that is natural to us. It is supernatural because the Holy Spirit is the one who has given us that gift. I want you to take, so if you've got two fingers, one in 1 Peter, one in 1 Corinthians, go back to Exodus and chapter 31. Second book of the Bible, Exodus 31. Passages also, similar kind of passages also found in chapter 35, the end leading into the first part of 36. But I want you to see this here, because this is why I believe that there's a supernatural. Now, the dispensing of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was different than in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the moment the believer trusts Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells him. In the Old Testament, that wasn't the case. The Holy Spirit came on individuals for specific types of things that they were to do. And we see that in this particular passage, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 11. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given him skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony," and he goes on and describes what is happening there. Now, here's the scene. God has given to Moses the different artifacts for the tabernacle that they were going to be worshiping in, the dimensions and the types of material that were to be used in the enclosing, the wood and the linens that would drape it, the items that would be inside, the golden things that would be there for the different kinds of worship. And it was to be done with magnificence, splendor. And so God, through the Holy Spirit, placed in these two men, Oholiab and Bezalel, the ability, supernatural ability, to do the work that they were called to do in crafting this tabernacle. This wasn't going to be just some prefab kind of building structure that could be done in an hour or a day. This was to be the presence of God in their midst, where God would be and they would come to worship Him. And so God endowed them, empowered them with the Holy Spirit. Now, they may have had some natural skills in some of these things, but you notice that we read that that the Holy Spirit gave them special ability to do these things. It was to be a place where God would meet with His people. And so it had to be special. And so God endowed them with the Holy Spirit. So it was a supernatural thing that happened there. Now, notice back in our passage. So you got your finger back in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received. Meaning that they had come to some place, that the gift had come from some place other than themselves. Come Christmas time, when we gather around the tree to open up presents, I am not going to buy myself a gift and put it under the tree. It wouldn't be a gift then. It is something that comes from someone else to you. And in this case, these individuals, we as believers, have received a spiritual gift that has come from God through the Holy Spirit. Now, there are seven things that I want us to notice from our understanding of Scripture about what spiritual gifts are. The first is that it's universal. It is universal. Peter begins by saying, each one. I like what the King James says, that every man. To me, that is all-inclusive. Every believer, and I believe that Peter is speaking specifically to believers here, every believer has received a spiritual gift. You have received a spiritual gift because I understand this to mean that it is universal. Every believer. 1 Corinthians 12, 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Now I want to ask you a question to which there are only three possible answers. The question is this: do you know what your spiritual gift is? The first answer is yes, I know what my spiritual gift is. The second answer might be, I'm not sure. I'll explain that in a minute. And the third answer then is what? No. Okay, those are the three. The only three options there are in understanding whether or not how you answer that question. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? So to the first answer, if you said, yes, I know what my spiritual gift is, there's a follow-up question. Are you using your spiritual gift? Is it something that on a regular basis you know what it is and you recognize what it is and you are seeing the opportunities and you are doing your spiritual gift? So if you know what your spiritual gift, are you using it? To that, you can answer either yes or no. So yes, I am, or if the question is no, why not? There is no retirement for spiritual gifts. I just want to make that clear. No retirement for spiritual gifts. We are to continue to use our spiritual gift until the Lord comes or He takes us home. And so I just want to make that clear. Now, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, there are some possible reasons. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, there are some possible reasons. You may not know because you didn't know you had one. It's possible that you just don't know. Because you didn't know. It's kind of like when Paul comes to the group of believers or to the one city and he says, have you received the Holy Spirit? He said, no, we didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. How were you baptized? We were baptized under John. They didn't know that at salvation the Holy Spirit would come, so they didn't know. So it's possible that you don't know that you have a spiritual gift just because you don't know. So to that you might ask, how do I find out? To which I would give you two possible ways to find out what it is. Ask, because I believe that God, being that our spiritual gift is universal, that everyone has one, God wants you to know what it is. So ask Him. Lord, you know, I don't know what my gift is, so I'm just asking you right now. Will you show me through some means? And we were talking in men's study that God didn't give us, when we became a Christian, God didn't give us a little letter that we received in the mail says, hey, here's what your spiritual gift is. But He wants you to know what it is. So the second thing I would say to you is to act. Not just ask, but act. In Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, there are a list of spiritual gifts. There are some additional ones that are listed in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at those spiritual gifts and act. Okay, here's the first one. It's teaching. Okay, and so you go to Kathy and you say, hey, I think I have the spiritual gift of teaching. So is there a place you can plug me into? And so, well, okay, we just happen to have a slot. So you try teaching for a week or two and you find out it isn't your cup of tea. That putting together a lesson and delivering it just really is, it doesn't bring you any joy. There's a lot of you are overwhelmed beyond belief. And you say, oh, well, I guess teaching isn't my spiritual gift. So you go to the, so just do something and find out if it brings you joy and peace and fulfillment. The simple fact is every Christian has been given a spiritual gift. And I believe that you were given a gift when you trusted Christ as Savior. There isn't a test by which you have to pass that says if you do this, then you'll get your spiritual gift. You know, it isn't like if you visit the church 100 times, then you'll get your spiritual gift. Or if you give $1,000 in the offering, that once you give that $1,000, then you get your spiritual gift. Or if you, you know, whatever it is, there isn't, when you are trust Christ as Savior, you've been given that gift. So ask and act if you don't know what it is. Ask God to reveal it. Second thing I want to say, not only is it universal, but it's unique. It's unique. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning at verse 11, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would be not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And he goes on and he's talking about the correlation between the human body, which is made up of many parts, and the body of Christ, which is made up of many people. And I believe that your gift is unique to you. There may be someone who has, there may be a couple of people in our congregation who have the gift of giving, let's say. God isn't going to use that gift in the same way for those two people necessarily who have that same spiritual gift. It is a generalization. There are going to be unique things that person with the gift of giving or the gift of teaching or the gift of helps, encouragement, or whatever that spiritual gift might be that God is going to use you for. We have a missionary come in and speak, and they share some of the needs that are in their particular field where they're serving at. A person with the gift of giving may hear that and resonate with that person and say, I want to do something for that need. Where another person with the gift of giving may say, well, you know, I think I want to put my resources in some other way. It is unique to you in how you give your how you use your spiritual gift. I was part of a conversation a number of years ago, many years ago, in which one person was believed that they had a particular spiritual gift, and they were complaining about somebody else who had a similar, who had the same spiritual gift. This person believed they had a spiritual gift. This person believed they had the same spiritual gift, and this person was complaining that this person wasn't using the gift the way that they wanted them to do it. It's not unique. There isn't a cookie-cutter approach to spiritual gifts, where it's all going to come out the same. God is uniquely using you as He touches your heart to say, I want you to use your gift in this particular way so that it is the uniqueness of the body of Christ. And that's what I think Paul is conveying here in this passage. You can't say that just because you're not a part of, you don't have this spiritual gift that you're not part of the body, or you don't have this spiritual gift so you're not part of the body, or that you say that my spiritual gift is most important. It is unique to you. In James 4:17, we read that one who knows to do good and doesn't do it, he is sinning. So if you know what your spiritual gift is and you recognize that God has said to you, I want you to use your spiritual gift in a particular way, and you reject or refuse to do that, understand that what James is saying is that you are disobeying. And disobedience is sinning. So use your spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift is unique to you as your fingerprint. There isn't any two people with the same fingerprint. So it is with your spiritual gift. It is your fingerprint that God has given to you uniquely. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but all these worketh that one and the same, very same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. The word severally is also translated each one in the NIV and separately in New American Standard. And I want you to understand it comes from the Greek word idios, and it's the word that we get idiot. Now, we have taken a negative spin on the word, and we've talked about that word being somebody who is dumb, and they just seem to be illiterate in many different ways, and so we'll call somebody who makes a boneheaded mistake, you idiot, and so on. But understand that the original context of that particular word didn't mean someone who who was foolish or stupid. It originally meant someone who was peculiar, that there is no one else like him, hence unique. You are unique to God in the way that you demonstrate your spiritual gift. Again, from Ephesians 4:7, God measures it out in different ways or in unique ways to each person. The third thing that I understand spiritual gifts to be is that it's unearned. I mentioned this early, but I want to remind you again that you can't earn it. There isn't anything that you can do to merit it. It is given as a gift by God's grace. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift. 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives to them each one just as He determines. It's unearned. You can't buy it. You can't go and... Remember the story in Acts where Simon the sorcerer got saved, and disciples were healing, and he said, hey, I'll pay you money for the Holy Spirit, the ability to go and heal people. You can't buy it. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we can't say other gifts aren't needed, aren't wanted, or unimportant. The Holy Spirit has determined how we will best help the body of Christ through our spiritual gift. In verse 11, it is determined by the will of the Holy Spirit, and in verse 18, it is by how God desires. We get our gifts through Him. It is unearned. The next thing is that it is unconditional. We also spoke about this a moment ago, but it bears repeating. Regardless of your spiritual status, you could be a new Christian. You could be a Christian who's been saved a long, long time. You can be, it doesn't matter your gender, your age. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic status. It doesn't matter what part of the world you live in. It has been unconditionally given to you to use for the benefit of the body. Each one should use, as Peter said, whatever gift he has received. The word whatever does not mean if you have a gift, but rather whatever that gift is, use it. Use it. The next thing is that it is useful. It is useful. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. 1 Corinthians 12:7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the, in the New International Version, it says for the common good. It is to benefit each other. It is useful. Your spiritual gift isn't about you. It isn't about bringing notoriety to yourself or pat me on the back kind of thing. It is for the benefit of others. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, there is gifted to the church those with certain gifts, pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, for the purpose of helping mature the body of believers in order for you to do your work in the body. So that as a body, collectively, we can be mature and grow and mature to be a unit. It is useful. My role is to build you up, to help guide you in discovering and developing and deploying what your spiritual gift is for the benefit of the rest of the body. And I want to be candid with you. If you aren't using your spiritual gift for the purpose of benefiting the body of Christ, then the body of Christ is weakened by your inactivity. If the body of Christ is in some way hurting and you have a spiritual gift that can benefit it and you don't use your gift, then you are hurting. The church is weakened because you are not exercising your spiritual gift. It is not benefiting from your spiritual gift. Referring back to 1 Corinthians 12, never conclude that your gift is unnecessary or insignificant. Each one of you has an important role to play. And Paul even says in that passage that it might be that the gifts that are unseen may be even more important than the ones that are visible. You see me, the exterior, and I have all these parts. I want to tell you, the heart is pretty important as an organ, wouldn't you say? And if it weren't beating, then I wouldn't be here. So it is like other spiritual gifts that may not be seen might be more important. Verse 11 of, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 4. Because in verse 11, Peter has lumped all of the spiritual gifts into two categories. And I want to back up and say that from verse 10, because he says, he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That word faithfully administering really is speaking about being a steward. That you've been given a spiritual gift and you are to be a steward of it. A steward is someone who doesn't own but has been given from a master, and that master then dictates how that gift is used. And the steward is responsible to be the one to go out and dispense the will of the master with those resources that have been given and entrusted to him. Genesis 39, verses 1 through 4. We're not going to take time to look there, but Genesis 39 is that passage where it speaks about Joseph has been put in prison. He first goes to Potiphar's home, and he's serving there, and then he goes on into prison. And it says there, in that particular passage about Potiphar, that Potiphar entrusted all his entire household, all his belongings to Joseph. Joseph was the steward. And it says that the master had, he had no reckoning of anything because he had given it to Joseph to handle. He didn't concern himself about any of the affairs of the household. Gave it to him. He was the steward. So that's what we are to be. We are stewards of God's gift to serve others. And then we come into verse 11, and it speaks about these two categories. The first is a speaking category, the words of God. It's not speaking generally about our conversation, although we could say that in everything that we speak, how we speak ought to be with grace, right? Ephesians 4, 4 to 6. Maybe it's Colossians 4, 4 to 6. That your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. So that passage there. But speaking specifically here about our words, those who have these speaking gifts are to do so in a way that isn't speaking their opinion, but they're speaking God's word, the oracles of God, the word of God. The second is in the serving gifts. So we need to look at those just kind of two broad categories. So it is useful. Are you using your spiritual gift? The next thing is that it is unifying. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to remind you that Paul speaks about the correlation between the unity of the human body functioning together for the benefit of the whole body and that of the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4:16, Paul says that the whole body is joined and held together. There is unity. And so when we are all using our spiritual gifts, there is unity. There is something that brings us together and unites us. There is a unifying effect in the body of Christ when all its members are working together with their spiritual gifts. And the final thing I want to mention about spiritual gifts is that it is unlimited. It is unlimited. You see in the end of that particular passage in verse 11, speaking about spiritual gifts, speak with the oracles of God, but that when you serve, it is to be with the strength that God gives you. How many times have I tried to exercise my spiritual gift in my own strength? And I fall flat. I fail because I'm trying to do it in my own resources. I'm doing it because there's pride that settled in, and I want to have notoriety. I want to have people see what I'm doing, and so the recognition that comes from it. When we do it in the strength of the Lord, there's going to be humility, and we learn in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, that we are to do things for the benefit of others, putting them before our own needs. The humility that comes in exercising our spiritual gift is so that they will be lifted up, so that they will be helped, rather than me. So I need to be careful. In my own strength, I can become apathetic and uncaring. I will lack joy and enthusiasm. I may even become critical or condescending about any perceived inconvenience that I have in exercising my spiritual gift. I have the gift of helps, and so somebody needs me to come over and shovel their driveway, and so I go and do it, but I'm complaining the whole time because I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm doing it in my strength rather than in the strength that God gives me. But when my gift is used in the strength God gives to me, there will be joy and peace and enthusiasm and humility, energy and compassion. I will rightly acknowledge where my gift came from, and the proper response is praise to God. And I want to say this, that when God asks us to use our spiritual gift and we do so in His strength, He gives us the ability to do it. We talked in our Sunday school time about the fact that we may, in using our spiritual gift, have to step out of our comfort zone. We may have to do things that we're not necessarily comfortable doing, but when God says, I want you to do this because this is your spiritual gift, He will give us the ability, the strength to do it. That is the work that we are called to do, to exercise our spiritual gift for the benefit of the body. And he closes out this particular passage with the second half of verse 11, the worship that we are called to give. Because out of the exercise of our spiritual gift, God ultimately is to receive glory. So we read in that passage again, the second part of verse 11, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. First of all, it is exalting. When we exercise our spiritual gift for the benefit of the body, God is praised. We exalt His name. We lift it up. We recognize that it comes from Him, and we are giving back to Him He is due, the praise of His name. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your God which is in heaven. That is the purpose, as we do our good works through our spiritual gift, that God is receiving the glory. The focus is where it should be, giving all the praise to Him, remembering that it is His grace to begin with that gave us the gift to use for the benefit of the body. Using our spiritual gift is not only an act of worship, it is a call to worship, to praise God that the body of Christ was in some way benefited. So not only is God receiving glory, but it is doing my spiritual gift is an act of worship as well. Throughout Scripture, there is a call to give God glory, and we sing that wonderful chorus from time to time. So sing it with me, because it's going to be up on the screen in a minute. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. See, everything that God does through us or in us for the benefit of others is for His glory, to praise Him. So not only is it exalting, but it is also, as Peter suggests, it is eternal. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Psalm 104, verse 31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. Our exaltation to God is both personal and perpetual. It will go on and on, not just in the here and now, but for all eternity. When we exercise our gift, we shouldn't wait for eternity to give God our praise. We should begin and do it now so that He is receiving glory from us at this very moment. Peter ends with an affirmation, amen, or so let it be. And we learned in the message this morning, oh yes. It is an affirmation to us of what all has been said. In essence, Peter is saying that he wants his life to be what brings God glory. And I'm praying this morning that would be your desire as well, that your life, through the exercise of your spiritual gift, to the benefit of other believers in the body of Christ, would be that you yourselves would be that expression that you bring glory to God through your life. So as we close this morning, I'm hoping that God has spoken to you. If you are using your gift, continue to do so. If you are not using your spiritual gift, ask yourself, A, do you know what your spiritual gift is? And then if you do, why am I not using it? And then confess that and begin to do so. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, then I would invite you and encourage you to ask God and to act. Go out and continue to look to see what God would have you be doing to find joy and giving Him praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. With every eye closed and head bowed, I'm just going to ask this morning, has the Lord spoken to you in some way? Do you know what your spiritual gift is, you know, in recent days or months or even maybe the last number of years, you haven't been using your spiritual gift? You say, Pastor, this morning I'm making a commitment that I want to engage again with the spiritual gift God has given me, and I want to do all I can for His glory. Is there someone this morning to say, Pastor, I just want to pray for you. Just lift up your hand. And anyone this morning, amen, 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 amen. Go ahead and put your hands down. Anyone here who doesn't know what their spiritual gift is, and I want to pray for you this morning as well, just by lifting up your hand, say, okay, Pastor, I don't know. Amen, amen, amen. Heavenly Father, you have seen the hands and you know the hearts, and I pray that through your Holy Spirit you would guide these dear folks to use their spiritual gift for the benefit of others, that you might receive glory. And for those who are uncertain about what their spiritual gift is, maybe they know what it is and they just don't realize it. And that really is the benefit of doing your spiritual gift, because when we are doing it and we don't even know it, that really brings glory to us because there's a real true humility about it. But I pray, Father, that you will give them a sense of peace and understanding and discernment about what their gift is, so that they would know how to be able to be used in the body of Christ to encourage others. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our heart. And it's not only about benefiting the body of believers, but really it also speaks as a testimony to the folks who are out there in the world who don't know Christ and don't understand what being a Christian is, and the joy that comes in our serving one another, and they want to be a part of it as well. And so I pray that our testimony would speak to them and draw them to yourself. And we want to give you all the praise today, Father, for what you're going to do in us and through us. And again, as Peter suggests, and we want to echo with an amen, it is all for your glory in Christ's name. And all God's people said together, amen. Amen.